Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's start this program.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now Mahomes looking for the end zone, pass caught, touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They're back. I told you. My favorite words I get to say in this microphone.
Kansas City!
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. UConn head football coach Jim Mora, five-time Pro Bowl running back Frank Gore, plus ESPN college football analyst Ryan Leaf. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everyone, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live in Los Angeles, California. I'm here on NBC Sports on Peacock, 12 to 3 Eastern every day after the Dan Patrick Show. Same thing on NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85. And for that radio audience listening on Sirius XM Channel 85 or this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit and station smart enough to have us, or on Odyssey, listening to us streaming coast to coast, or listening to us on our podcast, available where all podcasts are acquired on Cumulus Podcast Network. Brockman knows where I'm going to describe all that. I am wearing a fantastic plum sweater today. Just call me the professor.
Hey, now. Hey.
Just call me the professor.
In the library?
I'm the professor.
On the mic.
On the mic in the studio. Well, the mic is my weapon. Okay? Or my words.
Your words are your weapons. Yeah.
Good to see you, TJ Jeff.
Who are we going to murder?
How are you, sir? Good to see you. Chris Brockman and Jason Fellers.
What's up, Rich?
Hey, very good. You know
sad
what?
Sad day.
Week 9 again. I'll start again. Yesterday's show, repeating it because we have new, fresh information. Week 9 was the, what the hell was that? Week in 2021 NFL regular season. Week 10, I'm back. You're back in fantasy.
I'm back in fantasy.
You too, right?
All of us.
Who's back? If you were not back in week 10, you may not
ever be back.
Baby got back. These babies got back in week 10. Chiefs are back, right? Chiefs are back. Yeah. Cowboys are back.
We never went nowhere.
Four quarters, you disappeared. I mean, completely poof, gone. Four quarters against Denver, gone.
We buried
Cowboys
it.
Are back. Cowboys are back. The Patriots, as we've come to know them, they're back. Patriots are back on that front. Yeah, I know. But hey, NFL, they're back.
Sorry, everybody.
The Buffalo Bills are back. They went away for four quarters briefly against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they took on the Jets, and as the Colts learned recently, that's the get-right game. That's your get-right game. So the Bills are back, right? Cam, he even told you, literally, himself, I'm back. Took off his helmet and said, I'm back, in case you did not know that number one in your program, number one in your heart, was, in fact, back. Superman 2, the sequel. He's back. He's basically said it to you. I am back. The San Francisco 49ers, they're back.
Woo.
Now, it could wind up being just for four quarters in the same way that Denver made Dallas disappear for four quarters and the Bills disappeared for four quarters. Maybe they're back for just four quarters. But for those four quarters last night, that's the stuff. That's the stuff the Kyle Shanahan coached and John Lynch generally managed 49ers are supposed to look like.
They're supposed to have efficient quarterback play from Jimmy Garoppolo with the hands also firmly placed on 10 and 2 on the steering wheel with Jimmy at quarterback. 19 attempts, connected on 15 of those 19.
Efficient.
A couple of them that weren't connected for some reason when they were up big. He's challenging Jalen Ramsey. It was a momentary lapse of reason.
I saw you tweet about that.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? Two touchdowns for Jimmy G. Two touchdowns. And the touchdowns were two greatest hits being played. George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. And Deebo had a rushing touchdown. Again, when you go see your favorite band or group in concert and they play their new music, you're kind of like, okay, you know, like I'll be into whatever you're into right now. But just, you want to just say, but play the hits.
Play the hits.
Play the hits.
Come on.
Play the hits that used to make me feel so good. Play the hits that give me just the warm and fuzzy memories. Play the hits. Running 40 times. That's playing the hits for Kyle Shanahan. And in the role of Raheem Mostert, in that role of fill in the blank running back, Elijah Mitchell, sixth round draft choice, as they were pointing out on the broadcast last night on the Manning Cast. Sixth round draft choice. Terrell Davis used to be that for Papa Shanahan. Okay, this is the 49er good stuff. And then defensively, hitting you in the mouth, turning you over. Pick six for Jimmy Ward after another pick. That was a gift to them, and we'll get to the Rams in a second. Timely defense, hard-hitting defense, running the ball down your throat, not knowing who's getting it. It could be flipped out here. It could be, you know, we're pulling the guards there and we're going the other direction. It could be a wide receiver. It could be anybody, but they're all running at the most difficult angle for you to cover. A hole that's most difficult for you to fill, and they're slashing, running downhill. That's the 49er way under Shanahan. We saw it last night, didn't we? Oh, we did. And also, playing the hits for the 49ers is beating the Rams. That's five in a row. Last time the Niners lost to the Rams, last time the Rams beat the 49ers, was in the final week of the regular season of the Rams' Super Bowl run with Jared Goff at quarterback. So, what do you make of it? Well, better to see it now than not at all, which we didn't see it at all last year. Didn't see it at all last year. Could they get Ayuk involved a little bit more? Of course. Can they play a little tighter defense? Maybe. Sure. Robbie Gould kicking field goals from 50 yards out. That's another hit.
That was good.
That's one of those hits. It might be a B-side of one of their hits, but yeah. I understand.
End of the show.
B-side.
What do you do with this if you're a 49er fan? You say, yes, yes. And then you say, we're going to Jacksonville next week. Let's finish that one up, too. And then we're 500. Then you're 5-5. Right now, there's a 5-5 team sitting in the seventh slot with Cam Newton quarterbacking it.
Yeah, buddy.
Right now, there's a Saints team sitting in the sixth seed just a game in front of you. I mean, the sixth seed, you're just a game out of the sixth seed, San Francisco. You know? And then you've got a Falcons team that's sitting there at 4-5 as well, getting set to take on a Patriots team that I think is flat out just licking its chops to kick off week 11 in a couple of nights on the Triple Cast. And the Minnesota Vikings have a game against, oh yeah, there it is, the Green Bay Packers coming up. That's a must win for the Vikes since they're at home. I'll just tell you this, folks. You're a 49er fan right now. You like to see it. You like to see the neighborhood that you're sitting in right now. Would you like to be living in a more higher rent district in your division? Of course, but you're not the Seahawks. You would have been 3-6 sitting right there with the Seahawks if you lost last night. And instead, they just put their foot in the ground and they hit the Rams right in the mouth. Good stuff.
I'm going to put up a poll real quick. Which four-win NFC team best chance to make the playoffs?
I think you're going to see a lot of Niners fans.
That's Vikings, Niners, Falcons, Eagles.
Eat the Eagles, too. I know you put that in overreaction Monday yesterday that the Eagles.
They look good.
Well, I need to see a little bit more from them consistently, but that's why there's 7 more regular season games, right? Longest regular season ever. One extra piece of runway for you to zoom into the playoffs this year. Now then, let's talk about the Rams. It was brutal. It's been a brutal 2 weeks. There's no question about it. Been a brutal 2 weeks right there in your home stadium, the Tennessee Titans, without Derrick Henry, come all the way across the country and just pound you. Pound you into submission. Matthew Stafford looked as bad as he's looked as a Rams quarterback, right under the lights. And that just lends credence, once again, 2 straight losses under the lights where you don't look at all like the team that you should be, or you don't look at all like the team that you have been with Matthew Stafford at quarterback. And Stafford's going to hear this on his bye week if it pierces his world. What's he done? The Rams went and got a quarterback that fits their system better, that is a better quarterback in this league. I think that most people would agree on that, with all due respect to Jared Goff, and I know I back-ended the all due respect comment. But what's he done? What has he done in the National Football League except come close against the Dallas Cowboys in a playoff game? What's he done? So these 2 losses lend credence to the, can he win the big game? Even though he's already beaten the Bucs. But that wasn't on a Sunday night or a Monday night, despite it being a late window marquee game that most of the country did see. So it's an unfair broadside, I think. But you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. And until he does win one of those big time games that the whole country is going to be sitting there and watch. And the next one on that is the one that's coming up after their bye week at Green Bay. Going back into the NFC North, he's been in Lambeau Field before. He's won in Lambeau Field before. He's going to have to do it again to stop a 2-game losing streak as opposed to being a 3-game losing streak against a team that they're going to have to beat in order to get to the Super Bowl or have in their back pocket to make come to them in Los Angeles should they somehow win this division, which is possible because the Arizona Cardinals are banged up and they just had one of those bury-the-tape performances as well. I'm not going to buy into the, well, here's the thing. I will say that Robert Woods' departure is more to say what was that? If we're talking about a what was that performance, Robert Woods' departure, I think, is more jarring than anything to do with Odell's arrival being something that could cause a different approach in the offense. Now, Stafford forcing one all the way down the field on the opening drive of the game into double coverage, assuming that Odell would adjust to the ball. I don't know. Did Odell run towards the sideline? And obviously the ball was placed closer to the hash and the numbers. Is that Stafford's fault? Was that Odell's fault? Doesn't matter because Odell just got there. The quarterback shouldn't be heaving it down the field into double coverage. You know? I mean, it wasn't like desperation time. It was the opening drive of the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like a punt. It was like a punt.
But it was second down, right?
It was like a punt. And here's the issue is now you got Vaughn you're throwing out there too. And the defense got put on the field there and they gave up damn near a quarter long drive. That thing was straight out of the playbook of the 49ers taking up the time and hitting you in the mouth and stealing your soul type drive. So it's a team effort last night. And that Woods being out, I think, got a lot of people just off kilter. How else is Kupp dropping a ball that, yeah, it's thrown behind him, but normally he would catch, or Higbee having one go off his hands and then a pick six ensues, or another one in the second half that Higbee just let on a third down drop right out of his hand. I mean, it just, they looked off all night, and I will give them the benefit of the fact that Robert Woods, who does so much for them on offense, that we do focus on the connection between Stafford and Kupp so much because it is so prolific, and you see it in the results on the stat sheet, on the fact that Kupp won Offensive Player of the Month in the NFC in September and October, but lost amongst that. I guess you got to see the woods from the trees, you know, and the woods is so important to this Rams team. He does so much. He does so much running and blocking. He does so much catching and route running. He does so much in terms of personifying what McVay is cooking up and wants done. And Odell just got there. And it's totally unfair to say you now have to be Woods. It's not the game. It's not his style. It's not his game. It's not his role. So, again, in the same way that the Niners stunk on ice for much of the first half of the season, and you were even overreaction Mondaying me with Shanahan on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And now they're in a pretty decent spot, even though I went higher register. Chiefs stink on ice. They're in first place. It's a long season. Let's see how it all plays out. They still are hitting their bye week, having won 70% of their games through 10 weeks. I think the bye week is perfectly timed. Stafford said after the game he could use a week of rest. He's banged up or he's got a back problem or what have you. Take a beat. Get Von Miller up to speed. He didn't look Von-like either. Did you see Kittle put him on skates? Did you see him at one point?
Yo, I just saw that clip. Warren Sharp tweeted it out.
Dude, oh, Kittle baby. Put him on skates and just pancaked. Again, that was the Niners night last night. Yeah. That's the good stuff for the Niners. And the Rams stuff is something that, again, let's take a beat, get healthy, get Odell more in the playbook, get Von healthy, get everyone more in the playbook, figure out what needs to be done, what bolts need to be tightened, because their next game is at Green Bay. And the whole country still being thick on tryptophan from Thanksgiving is going to be settling in late window on Fox for that Sunday game. And that's going to be, as the kids say, lit. So is our guest list today. Some old school friends, man. I'm not going to lie. First up's Kurt Warner, who called the game on Westwood One Monday Night Football last night with Kevin Harlan. So we're going to ask him. Rams in trouble. What does he think about what he saw from the 49ers? Obviously, the Patriots are on a roll. He saw the Chiefs in person against the Giants that kicked off the three-game winning streak that they're on right now. We'll ask Kurt about all of that. One of the first NFL insiders that we had on NFL Total Access. When we launched NFL Network 18 years ago this month, we would have coaches act as insiders, which is kind of fun because they're not really going to tell you anything. But they do tell you, hey, this happened in practice, that happened in practice. On NFL Total Access, the first correspondent as such was Jim Mora, then the defensive coordinator of the 49ers. As we all know, he wound up becoming the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. He got one and done because Pete Carroll became available. Then he became the head coach of UCLA here in this town. Now he's the new head coach at UConn. I figure let's catch up with him.
Let's do it.
Ryan Leaf is going to be here in studio in hour number three. He's got a new podcast out called Bust on his life. And so he's going to be here in studio to talk about that. We'll talk about a little college football with him as well. And in the middle of our program, Frank Gore will be joining us. And okay. I've been talking to Frank for years. I mean, years. Ever since he came off the campus at the U. And he's third all-time on the rushing list. You know I feel he's a Hall of Famer. We've had this discussion. He's fighting Darren Williams, former NBA player, in a ring in the Jake Paul, Tommy Fury undercard on Showtime in Tampa, December 18th. We're going to ask Frank, essentially, what the hell is he doing? And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Brockman currently not only at his post, but on the waiting line to buy a singular stock in the Green Bay Packers on behalf of the Rich Eisen Show. Where are we on the line?
It doesn't say. They okay. had that thing where you like, if you want to leave here, enter your email address and we'll let you know when it's your turn. Okay. So I could be waiting all day.
Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it plays out.
Fingers crossed.
It's a lesson in customer service.
Exactly.
Okay. But when we come back, Kurt Warner, let's roll to break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We're off and running here on this busy post week 10 edition. Tuesday.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Mike Tomlin is talking right now, and I'll tell you what, man. I don't know if Big Ben, I mentioned to our audience, terrestrial radio audience, to the audience on Peacock and Sirius XM, I had Jay Glazer on halftime of Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football last night. He doesn't think Big Ben's going to be back in time for Sunday night here in SoFi. Pittsburgh, because I mean he got his COVID diagnosis on Saturday, and he's still dealing with symptoms, which is terrible. Minkah Fitzpatrick got put on the COVID list. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that's going. That's a big game, obviously, for the Chargers, who are suddenly struggling in their new stadium. Well, at any rate, that's Sunday night football coming up. Thursday night football is going to be Atlanta and New England first up. And last night, Monday Night Football was a huge return to, I guess, old styles, as I just mentioned, by the San Francisco 49ers. And this man called the game on Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football with Kevin Harlan. He is my Pro Football Hall of Fame buddy and friend, and a Pro Football Hall of Fame, I guess, a human being as well. Joining me on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is my buddy, Kurt Warner. How are you, Kurt?
I'm doing well, bud. Got up early and just got back to Phoenix. But what a crazy game last night.
Well, I mean, I'll give you the floor because you can already hear the Rams aren't who we thought they were conversation after the Titans and now the 49ers have beaten them resoundingly in back-to-back nationally televised games. So are the Rams in trouble from what you're seeing, Kurt?
I'm not going to say in trouble because I think we've seen over the last couple of weeks, you know, this whole league is up and down. I mean, everybody that we think is really good has lost over the last couple of weeks. And so I think we could say that same thing about every single team. Well, maybe they're not who we thought they were. Mine right now is we don't necessarily have any great teams. And there's a lot of parity. And you're going to see this whole thing shake up even more over the last 7-8 weeks of the season. And I don't know how it's going to finish. You know, with the Rams, I just look at it and say, on paper, they look really, really good. But a lot of things have to come together for the chemistry part of it. You know, you think about Robert Woods. I just think about, he's kind of the heart and soul of that team, the way he plays, the grit by which he plays, the different things that they ask him to do, you know, that I think, in our minds, we say, oh, well, they have OBJ now. And so OBJ is just going to step in and take that place, and they're going to be just fine. And those are the kind of things you have to wonder about as they're trying to build this thing and put a lot of new pieces together in a short period of time. Can they get there? Can the chemistry get there to the point where everything that we see on paper plays out on the field between the lines, and they get all that unbelievable collection of talent? They get all of that talent who come together and play as one, and now they're maybe the special team that we think they have the capabilities to be.
Well, I mean, I led the show, Kurt, by saying that the bye week is perfectly timed for the Rams, perfectly timed, because Stafford said he could use a week of rest with his back, and, you know, Odell can get somewhat up to speed. Obviously, he's not going to play the Robert Woods role, but he is going to pick up slack in terms of targets. And then Von Miller can get up to speed and get healthy, and they could just take a beat, bury the last 2 weeks, and try and finish up strong. But that said, what do you see when you look at Stafford? Is he hurt, or does he have a big game problem? What do you think, Kurt, when you look at him?
When I watch him, I don't see anything physically that says to me, you know, that he's laboring or not doing some things that you would expect him to do or that you've seen him do. You know, I do think there seems to be some continuity problems with other guys besides Cooper Kupp. I mean, for whatever reason, Cooper Kupp and him are on the same page, and they look great together. But everybody else seems to be off a little bit, you know. I see different pieces kind of in there. They're just not hitting on all cylinders from that standpoint. And, yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be the question with Matthew Stafford just because he's never been in the big game. You know, and we can point our finger at a lot of different things with Detroit, of course. But, you know, the expectations are high on what people want from him and expect from him because of all the talent and now all the talent around him. And we're going to see how he plays in the big moment, in the big game. Because, you know, as well as I do, there's a lot of really good players in this league that aren't great in that moment. And Matthew Stafford's going to get an opportunity to prove to us you know, what he is as a player at some point here. And I think we're all waiting to see him. We're all hoping that it was a Detroit issue and not a Matthew Stafford issue as we move forward. And one thing I was saying on the broadcast last night, Rich, is that I sometimes feel like we're at a point in this league where you look at the NFC, for instance, but you really look at, you know, both sides. And because there's no great team, although I look at it and say, oh, there's probably five or six teams that I could see representing, you know, the NFC in the Super Bowl. I just wonder if it's – we're not going to necessarily be great by the end of the year, but which team can put together the best three- or four-game run at playoff time, put it all together, that's the team that's going to represent either side in the Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to be, oh, this team is the team going in the playoffs that's dominant. It's going to be, hey, this team could win or that team could win, and who puts that run together? And that might be who we end up seeing in the Super Bowl matchup.
So it's really it's crazy how, you know, we always talk about teams that finish hot or are important to see, but this is it, right? Like, that's the story of 2021. The longest regular season we've ever seen might actually play out with who finishes hot. Based on whatever their best start, whoever started best needs to finish hot because it doesn't matter how you started. Is that basically saying here?
That's how I see it. And maybe it's more because it looks like every team is flawed. And so when your team is flawed, meaning that you have ways in which you can lose or, you know, you're not going to win every game as we've seen. I mean, every top five seeds in the NFC all have lost over the last 2 weeks. So when that's the case, I think it's kind of now going, okay, since we have flaws, we've got to get the right matchups. We've got to, you know, play good at the right moment, as opposed to thinking we're going to fix all of our issues over the next 7 weeks and just be a great football team across the board.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of calling the Monday Night Football Niners win. And then you've got teams that could be 4-5, 5-4, or 6-4 that are in the midst of great runs that can't be stopped. So I want to just start that with the San Francisco 49ers first. And I mean, that was it. That's the performance we're waiting to see from last night, Kurt. That's it right there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, this is the team that I think most people thought we would see all year long. The pieces were there. They were healthy again. They had a chance to be that kind of team. And you're right. I mean, I didn't see many flaws. They ran the football as you expected. Jimmy G played as well as he can play. Defense played huge, even though I'd like to see a little bit more from their front four, you know, earlier in the game. But thought they played really well in the secondary. And you looked at that team and you go, well, that team could beat anybody in the league. And, you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, we've seen them kind of sputter through the year. And they're really just one game back from that that seventh playoff spot. So there is so much football to be played right now that, you know, teams that we put a fork in the other week on game day morning.
Yes.
I don't know if you can put a fork in anybody, really, or maybe just a few teams because, you know, Minnesota, they win a couple games. They're in the – I mean, it's just – you just look around the league, and I just think there's going to be a lot of movements within divisions and within conferences over the rest of the season.
How about Cam with the Panthers? You can already see the Panthers have some sort of new wind at their back that they didn't think was possible this year. You could just see that, feel it. Yeah, the fans are traveling to Arizona. They went nuts. They're going nuts when Cam's just driving around town. You know, like you could feel that. And they're 5-5.
Exactly. And the thing is, they've got a really good defense. I think their defense, or you know, they lost some games here because their offense was sputtering and turning the football over and putting their defense in bad spots. And so now I look at this team with Christian McCaffrey and Cam. And again, nobody really knows what Cam's going to be on the whole, you know, based off of what we've seen the last couple of years through the injuries and in New England and all that. But I know he can still be a part of a quality run game, and he can give you an advantage there. And so I look at this Carolina team and say, if they can develop, you know, a run game similar to what New England did last year with the weapons they have on the outside, if Cam can be solid throwing the football without turning the football over, I do think this could be a team that pushes for the playoffs and could be a dangerous team because they're solid on both sides when they're not turning the football over. And we saw that early in the year. So I do think the energy of Cam, the dynamic play of Cam in certain situations can make this a really interesting team, moving forward. And as you said, I mean, Tampa, after, you know, losing a couple in the last three, I mean, you know, they're by no means running away with this division where somebody couldn't challenge them.
And they've got their last two of their last three games for both teams. It's the home and home Bucks and Panthers. Those are the last 3 weeks. It's a home and home for both of those teams. It's going to be wild. I mean, that could come down to the last 3 weeks of the season. Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last couple for you, Kurt, before I let you on your Tuesday. Let's talk about 2-6-4 teams with a head of steam. Starting with the Patriots, who kick off Week 11 in Atlanta. And if the Atlanta team that showed up in Dallas shows up at home against this Patriots team the way that New England's playing, it's going to be another boat race loss for Atlanta. I said yesterday, Kurt, and you're the perfect person to ask, and then, of course, scoff, that the Patriots, the way that Mac Jones is looking right now, he looks a lot like Brady when Brady was first operating this offense in that season that wound up in the Super Bowl against you. I wonder what you're seeing out of Mac Jones.
Right, well, I mean, if you're going to go back to that season, I would say you're getting more from Mac Jones than you got from Tom Brady. But you're right. The team is built on a really, really good defense, very flexible defense, a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things defensively, which has really kind of been what Bill Belichick likes, is to be able to interchange guys and give a bunch of different looks. So they're playing great. They're running the football really, really well with a bunch of different guys. Damian Harris was playing great. And then you have Stevenson, who goes for over 100 yards the other day against the Browns. So they're running the football really well. And then you have Mac Jones, who is playing ahead of his years. He's a guy that has shown that he can make big throws for you. More importantly, he's a guy that shows you he can make the right play most of the time, which you get a quarterback that can make the right play most of the time, and you're going to be in the mix for the playoffs, and he just is going to get better and better and is doing more and more for this team. And you couple that with the rest of the units, and again, I'm still reserving myself to say I'm not sure they can go four games and beat the best teams in the league quite yet, but they are a team nobody wants to face. They are a team that I believe can knock off anybody in the league. And so if they get into the playoffs, which I believe they will the way they're playing right now, nobody's going to want to see him. Nobody's going to want to face him. And then we'll get a chance to see this young quarterback if he can take that next step and really compete with the best in the league and push for a possible AFC championship.
I mean, the one thing we haven't seen from him yet is the Brady comeback with 2 minutes to go, right? Down, we're just two timeouts left, got to go the length of the field, got to get some points, if not a touchdown. We have yet to see that out of Mac Jones to finally, I guess, christen him in that way. But I'll pull on this string, even though I do want to talk about the Chiefs with you before I let you go. What do you mean he's doing more than Brady in that first year? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, Brady was really a placeholder that first year. You know, like even in the Super Bowl, Brady threw for 150 yards and, in that game where they beat us. It was really built on defense and running the football. Mac is, you know, he's not in that same mode. Yes, they're running the football and they're running the football well, but they're putting a lot on his shoulders and they're asking him to make plays. And he's, you know, maybe where he really separates himself more than Tom, but a lot of quarterbacks right now is what he's doing in the red zone. Some of the tight throws, the way he's able to manipulate defenses and understand what he's seeing at this stage in his career, you know, to me, it's better than a lot of guys in the league, but better than what Tom Brady was at this point in time. And so he's making some really big-time decisions and throws and reads in the red zone that really have impressed me early in his career.
And let's finish up with the Chiefs, Kurt. You and Kevin Harlan did the Monday Night Football game in Arrowhead when they beat the Giants. That started a three-game win streak that culminating right now, if not continuing, with that big win in Vegas on Sunday night where we saw the Chiefs arrive in 2021 for the first time, as we expect, even though – and they overcame a turnover as opposed to having it drag them down, a one on special teams. Are the Chiefs back, Kurt?
Again, not ready to say they're back yet, because, you know, it's really just been one game where they've put it all together and it looks like the Chiefs that we expected. But I think they're going to round into form, you know, definitely better than we saw earlier in the year. And we've seen their defense do this for a couple years where they couldn't stop anybody. And as the season goes on, they start to figure it out a little bit. Their defense is playing better. Defense is creating some pressure and creating some turnovers. And you know, we know that their offense, I mean, it's like a sleeping giant. We know it's there. You know, we know they've got the pieces. We know that their quarterback is special. And so it's just a matter of kind of settling back in. I really felt early in the year that Patrick was trying to do too much. You know, he was getting impatient in the pocket and moving around and wanting to make those special off-schedule throws as opposed to just making the plays that are there to be made, which is what's always made him special, and then adding the extra when he had to. Really felt like he was pressing, you know, from last year in the Super Bowl to say, I got to do more. I got to be better if we're going to win a championship. And I think what we saw the other night was him playing more on schedule, playing more comfortable in the pocket. And when he does that, and when the guys on the outside are winning, that's what you get. You get 40 burgers every time out. And so not ready to say that they're there, because it was one really solid game, whereas most of this season has been kind of a hodgepodge of stuff thrown together, good, bad, ugly. But I know it's there, and I, without a doubt, they're going to get better as the season goes along. It's can they get back to that form that we've seen for the last couple of years? And then, again, maybe back to our original point, Rich, is I don't know if they have to be that team. Like, I mean, you know, you look at the AFC, and, the Titans are playing well, but I'm not sure the Titans scare me to say, like, oh, this is a dominant team. If you don't play well, you can't beat the Titans. Buffalo the same way. Is, you know, they've been up and down and got beat by the Jags a couple weeks ago, and you're just saying they're not a team that I go, oh, my gosh, you better bring your A game or you can't knock them off. I don't know if there's that team in the AFC, so the Chiefs may not have to be quite as dynamic as they've been in the past to win the AFC, especially if Patrick Mahomes gets hot.
Yeah, I mean, we're 9 days away, Kurt, from our annual NFL Game Day morning Thanksgiving Day show where we're able to mulligan our Super Bowl picks. I had Chiefs versus the Bucks, and on this show, I reversed the Chiefs to the Titans. I don't know if I'm going to choose the next 9 days to maybe stick with it. You know, where are you leaning on your Super Bowl pick? What do you think? Where are you leaning right now?
I was the same way. I went the same way with the Bucks and the Chiefs.
What are you thinking?
And I'm not sure what I'm thinking. I forgot all about the right there.
You got 9 days. I know you got a lot going on. You and Brenda are doing the junket, press junket for American Underdog. You're flying all over the country to see your son too. See your kids play.
I'm going to take all 9 days to think about it.
Yeah, because that's coming.
But again, that's the crazy thing is, you know, you say, okay, if I'm going to change it, who am I changing it to? Like, in the NFC, you know, who am I changing it to that I feel more confident in than the Bucks, you know, making that run? And I feel kind of the same way in the AFC is that, you're right, the Titans are playing better than the Chiefs are, but I'm still not fully confident to say, man, what I saw with the Chiefs on Sunday, that they're not going to be that team when it's all said and done. But you know me, I'm probably going to flip flop somewhere. I'm going to change my pick. I mean, I change it every time I get an opportunity because, you know, the league is like that. And, you know, so not sure where I would go right now. But I think the Bucks and Chiefs are good bets still. But, you know, you mix in Buffalo and Tennessee and maybe the Cardinals in there, the Packers. You know, I think all those teams could end up, you know, showing up in the Super Bowl.
Kurt, you're the best. Thanks for the call. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will see you on game day morning next week. Thanks for the
call. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
That's my Hall of Fame friend and Hall of Fame person, Kurt Warner, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. So, what do you think about that? Doing more than what Tom Brady did. He took my, hey, Max running it like Tom Brady did in the first year.
He ran with it.
I had to get around to that last parsing of it after you gave me that stare down like 2004, like 2007, Tom Brady, yesterday. And then I'm like, no,
yeah.
I meant when they first started.
Yeah, like first dynasty.
He's like, yeah, first dynasty.
Yeah.
Right. That he's like, he's doing more. Kurt saw that and raised it. He's doing more than Brady did.
Well, kind of like what I said yesterday, the elements are all there. Great running game. There's kind of a three-headed attack now.
Right.
Defense is playing really well. They've had some exceptional games during this winning streak. And they're not asking Mac Jones to really win the game. But as Kurt pointed out, he's been really efficient in the red zone, especially finding Hunter Henry recently. So that's, you know, kind of where he's a little bit better than Tom was.
The one thing he hasn't done yet, as I mentioned, is he has not, like, down six,
right,
two timeouts left, starting from his own 25. Can he do it?
Right.
Down two with no timeouts left, starting from his own 15.
Like,
can he do it?
Your whole life, you're watching Tom. You're like, oh, right, we got the ball back. We're down five. We're good. It's totally fine.
Haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Haven't really been in that position, though, yet.
Let's take a break. You know what's back to? An old NBA saw. Is Giannis leaving Milwaukee?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
After all that?
Oh, no.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. So what's this GQ article about Giannis that making it seem like he's not going to stay in Milwaukee his whole career? Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's a new profile of Giannis that hit GQ,
yes,
and online this morning. Online.
Correct.
Online.
And there was just one of the quotes talking about the hard and why he does it and why he sticks around and why he's doing this is his profession. And he's like, at some point, maybe the hard or the challenge will be somewhere else. And Bucks fans are like, whoa, was he leaving?
Could it be something other than basketball?
Could be, not sure.
How is that not a follow-up question to that?
I haven't actually read the whole thing.
Okay.
That's just what I saw.
But people are...
I saw Bucks fans freaking out about it. Some of my buddies who are... Milwaukee here.
Well,
trying to be between the lines.
Fortunately for those Bucks fans, it's not like that there's not some basketball crazy media capital of the world that won't just be going totally nuts over the fact that he's referring to that town. And you know what's back now? You know what's back? Here's what's back. Do you break your team up for Giannis?
Rich, as we've established.
Is there ornament? Now, let me go here. As I've already, as me saying, I wouldn't trade Tyler Hero and the rest of the bubble Miami Heat to break up that team for Giannis Antetokounmpo is easily my worst basketball take of all time. There's no, it may be the my worst sports take of all time in any sport, right? I've established that. My fantasy team name in our basketball fantasy league is Don't Trade for Giannis,
yes,
okay?
It is.
Right, okay. So is there a team in the NBA that wouldn't break up their team for Giannis? Is there a team in the NBA, I'll repeat it, are there 29 other teams? Of the 29 other teams, not named the Bucks, is there another team in the NBA that would say, you know what, we're not going to do it?
No, I think every team.
Every team would do it.
I think so.
Right? Knicks would do it. Nets would do it. Would your Sixers do it?
I mean,
that would mean no Embiid, see him. Out. Gone. Probably throw Tobias Harris in there too, right? I don't know.
That's a lot.
Or Maxi. How about Maxi? We won't say Tobias. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they would.
We could pair Maxi with Giannis, and there you go. I think every team does it.
Every team would do it. Literally every team in the NBA right now would blow it up.
Well, yeah. Probably not Golden State. I don't think they give up Steph for Giannis.
Really?
I think, obviously, at the point of their career, but I think Steph
I've
is such
a taker. I knew there would be one, and I don't disagree with him.
You wouldn't trade Steph for Giannis?
No.
I just don't think as a franchise, knowing what Steph has brought to that team in that city, I just don't believe that they would.
Steph Curry's 33. Giannis is 26.
I know, and look how he's playing, too. And getting him and keeping him there, it's sometimes it's more than just about winning forever or trying to restart and have another dime. I mean, you would trade Steph Curry. You even just texted us the other day and went 50-10 for your fantasy team. You're like, he's the greatest of all time.
Think about
what he's playing at this age is Jordan-esque, isn't it?
The thing about Steph is his game. I mean, obviously he's a tremendous athlete, but his game isn't based around otherworldly athleticism, right?
Yeah, right.
The dude's a shooter, and he's going to be able to shoot the rock for a very long time to come. So
the Warriors don't break him up. You don't break up Steph and last night's Manning Cast guest and Draymond Green.
I think they give up Draymond, obviously. I just don't feel like – I feel like Steph is one guy who's so ingrained in that culture. I don't think that he could be moved.
How about if you're the Bucks? Do you ask for Curry? Do you want everyone else? You want Wiseman?
No, I would not do that. If I was the Bucks, I would not do that.
Well, if Giannis wants out – Giannis says, I want out. The Bucks don't have much to say.
Yeah. Giannis, Clay, and whoever else, could that team win a title? Like if you traded Wiseman, Curry, and a bunch of picks for Giannis?
Yeah, it depends on who that – was it Wiggins?
Sure. He's in there. Jordan Poole. So Poole, Clay, Giannis, and Wiggins, and whoever else. Does that team win a title?
I mean, again, we don't know what we're getting out of Klay Thompson when he comes back. But I think what I said about Steph applies to Klay. Steph's a shooter.
The workout videos look pretty
well
great.
Done, boys.
Klay's a shooter. Klay's going to shoot the rock forever.
Yeah.
So
Poole has proven himself to be a walking bucket right now.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good one.
It's like the ocean for Poole.
I don't trade anyone. Giannis is the number one player.
I would have definitely broke up the bubble heat, though.
Jim Mora and Frank Gore coming up in hour two.